Mini episode 104 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number one, stdownscouting.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, folks, we are coming down the stretch here. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross for the FDH Lounge. It's part eight of the Kyle Ross History of WrestleMania anthology here. We're getting a nine-part series,
folks. Don't worry, we're almost there. Please don't go.
Yeah. This is number eight out of nine. And we are into, and you have set the parameters on these, Kyle Ross, on what we're going to do. This one today, 19 through 21, this is going to be a take that a lot of people are going to find very interesting because, notwithstanding the overall picture.
Are you giving your take or are you putting words in my mouth right now? I'm prepared.
I'm putting words in the mouth of the audience, assuming they feel as I do. Okay. But okay. I love to do that. A lot of people, I think, might be a little bit surprised, perhaps, to find out that, given the overall state of the company at the time, uneven at best, and I will say at best, that you regard this three-year stretch as the greatest three-year stretch in the history of WrestleMania?
In ring, I certainly think. You know, I could, as far as three quality WrestleManias in a row, I'm not sure if there's three. You know, I mean, if you look back, I mean, doing this, I mean, how uneven were those? You know, we always
Trying to think about that. Yeah, there's not too many great ones back-to-back.
Exactly. I mean, we talked about, for instance, you know, periods of unrest. I mean, you know, you had 9, and 10, and 11, and 12, and 13, and 14, and 15. I mean, it was going all over the place, up, down, middle. Here, I would say that all three of the WrestleManias we're going to talk about in this podcast clearly rank in the top seven of WrestleManias all time.
Okay.
Which is pretty good.
I can believe that.
Which is pretty good. I mean, you'd be hard. I mean, as far as, you still had, and I know this is going to be a big bone of contention with you, Ricky, you still had, I think, some bleed over of the star power from the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And mixed with some new guys as well.
Yeah.
That were maybe part of that era and had been elevated since.
This was definite hangover, especially 19 and 20, to the period that had come before. They were desperate, and they were reaching and grasping for what could try to get them back there.
But at the same time, what they could reach for and what they could grasp for, even on a mediocre day, there was a lot more star power then than what you see today.
Oh, yeah.
There was certainly a lot more. I mean, granted, they botched a lot of it during this period we're going to talk about, but there was a lot more to grab at, you know, back in this period, which is 2003 to 2005, than there was, say, today.
Oh, that's true.
Where, you know, you look at it now and the star power is far less impressive, I would say. But, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking right now, there's 17, 18, 19. I thought 18 was kind of a dud. You know, 14, 15, 16. 15 stunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to stand by that remark if I email.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously, you got that out of a previous email I sent you.
Yes.
Okay.
Our production notes, as
okay,
it were,
I
for
did
this
send
one.
That. It sounded like something I might have said, and I was quickly like, did I mean that? Was I not of full mind when I wrote that?
You did. Yeah,
okay.
That was in your production notes.
I will stand by that remark.
Yeah.
Because I do not believe that you'll find three better WrestleManias in a row than these three.
Well, and again, looking at
19, none of them are the best, but
No, clearly not. But you're right. They did have star power. They did
and good wrestling, too.
Good work rate. No question about that. Part of the reason, and we alluded to this the last time, the dividing line in your mind for why, because we'd been queried on this on our YouTube channel, why is 18 not in with this instead of 17? And again, even though 17 was the last one before the invasion, which came shortly thereafter, the bigger dividing line, I think, to both of us was the brand split. That's what basically set the template for the modern era. And while we're going to cover the modern era, 22 to the present, after we get done with this one here, that'll be our final installment of the series. It's still a thing where it's a huge defining thing here, and right off the bat, after WrestleMania 18, they had the brand split, they had the initial draft, And actually, the night of it, they teased what was going to happen and what was going to be one of the biggest defining things over the next year, sticking a rocket to the arse immediately of Brock Lesnar coming in from OVW and on a superstar-studded roster, soon to be too many rosters, a guy who had never done anything previously in the world of professional wrestling would easily be one of the two or three biggest stars of the next year.
Yeah, and I thought that worked. At least initially. I mean, we'll talk about this. You know, another reason that I wanted to put 18 with the other group, mm-hmm. we covered quite a bit of ground in our last podcast, going all the way from WrestleMania 14 to WrestleMania 18,
mm-hmm.
is that when WrestleMania 18 rolled around, there was still the sense of the boom's not over.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is tweak this and that. The money will keep rolling in. I think when WrestleMania 19 rolled around, there was certainly the prevailing belief that maybe the best had passed by and mm-hmm. we really need to try something significantly different to bring the good times back.
Mm-hmm.
And with Brock Lesnar, they certainly did try something different. It was a new start. This is exactly what you want to do. When you have a new idea for a monster heel, because that's how he was brought in,
mm-hmm.
you can't do it much better than they did the first 4 months they had him, where, you're right, immediately they put the spotlight on him. Immediately they let you know he was going to be a star. And by the next major pay-per-view, which is SummerSlam, he wins the world championship in pretty impressive fashion. It was so impressive that the fans started cheering for him over The Rock,
yeah.
which I think is very important to note. It leads to The Rock doing a heel turn mm-hmm. for this WrestleMania, WrestleMania 19, the first one we're going to talk about. And I think it may have been the first example of what we see a lot today, where certain fans in the audience kind of cheer for good booking.
Right.
Have you ever noticed that?
I have.
To me, like, it obviously wasn't anything Lesnar did storyline-wise
right.
that got him the cheer. I mean, certainly he's a big star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly became a much bigger star in the world of MMA
right.
after he left the WWE. But I think people just kind of appreciated how they didn't screw that up, his rise to the title.
Right.
And Nassau is always kind of a funny place, too. You know, I mean, you
it
know,
is.
The Islanders
New
have
York
sucked.
Fans.
The Islanders have sucked there for years, as you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. but by the same token, though, you could say that about New York as a whole, because look at Shawn Michaels in 96, the way he was getting booed there at the Survivor Series.
Those or the
New
following
York fans,
year at WrestleMania, which we'll talk about, too.
Yeah.
MSG's always kind of ridden Shawn.
Yeah, those fans will really, really give it to you. If you're not in their favor, or if you've done something to lose their favor.
And it was kind of interesting that, you know, we talked about how the crowd, you know, the old joke, oh, it's a 50-50 split crowd here for mm-hmm. Rock and Hogan, and it, in fact, was anything but. It was mm-hmm. probably, you know, 70-30, 80-20 in favor of Hogan in Toronto. But, and you and I talked about this, it's really interesting because, you know, Rock's back this year, and he's going to be wrestling Cena, who is the classic, you know, whether you love him or you hate him, you know, everyone's mm-hmm. got an opinion guy. The fans really just began to turn on the Rock.
Right.
During 2002, to the point I guess they were just sick of him. And he, I mean, it's that's shocking, you know. I mean, that, you know, now the way they bring the Rock back, oh, he's a savior without flaws, and he's here to point out the flaws of John Cena.
Right.
The Rock had, if you look back at his career, does actually share a lot of the same flaws or character trends, maybe not flaws, may have been too harsh, as Cena.
Right, right, and it's funny because there's so much romanticism build up around The Rock, and you see it this year with him coming back against Cena, and oh, how great things would have been if I agree to an extent things would have been better if he would have been around, but even now, I mean, he's had a few uneven performances leading up to this WrestleMania, and people have critiqued that, and maybe part of it is because the standard for him is so high, but we all kind of invent in our minds, I think, what he would have done over the course of the last 8 years or so, because there are times when the fans did tire of his shtick and turn on him. And he played into that. I said to you previously on one of these mini episodes here that he did a tremendous job in this 03 run of playing into it. By the way, I want to ask you, an earlier precedent maybe for what we saw with Lesnar. I know in 2000 they were positioning it by putting Triple H and Angle in that angle, if you will, But Triple H, during the pseudo-face turn of 2000, it seemed to me a lot of the fans were cheering him because of how he'd been booked. It's one of those things where, because it's not like he never lost, but first heel to win at WrestleMania, and he never seemed to get his comeuppance on screen. And even when The Rock got the title back, it was by pinning Vince McMahon.
That might have been some of it,
mm-hmm.
but when I look at the two, I think the mm-hmm. noticeable difference is there was a storyline that would be conducive to cheering for Triple H.
Okay.
He had a guy hitting on his wife.
Okay.
Lesnar like really never did anything of the sort.
Right.
He was just booked very well. I think we both agree
right.
that we can get past
sure.
SummerSlam.
Right.
In my opinion, SummerSlam 02, the finest SummerSlam of all time, oh, by the way.
It was a great one.
That was a great – I mean,
yeah.
it featured the return of – here's another thing we need to talk about when we go into WrestleMania. The return of Shawn Michaels. I didn't have that in my notes.
Return of Shawn Michaels.
In a fabulous match. Oh, was I marking out for that. I think that's one of the better matches of the decade.
Two very influential things at that pay-per-view. Yeah, that the Shawn Michaels return, which really was a miracle, given what we'd been told about how bad his back was. And to this day, I don't know that I've ever heard an explanation for how you go from back fusion and guy can't take any bumps, whatever, to the kind of career he had over the next 8 years.
It's amazing. When he came back that night,
right.
who would have ever thought that he would be in the main event match at WrestleMania 26?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
you wouldn't
pretty
have thought
remarkable.
That. But
and he would come back so strong.
Two of the, and as we talk about, if I may use a apter term from the 80s here, two of the top scientific wrestlers of the last decade. It was not only Shawn Michaels that re-debuted at that pay-per-view. It was the first, SummerSlam 02 was the first pay-per-view for a guy that we're going to talk about over the next couple of these podcasts as well, Rey Mysterio. That was his initial entry into the WWE.
Yes, you've done your homework.
He was paired with Kurt Angle.
That was a very good opening match.
Yes,
I really
tremendous.
Liked that pay-per-view.
That
SummerSlam
was a great, great pay-per-view.
Except
yeah.
for the Undertaker test. I didn't care for that. So
yeah,
much.
We could have done without that. It was a clumsy way to try to re-face Undertaker.
Yeah.
There could have been better ways
America,
to do it.
He loves America, yes.
Yeah, that, yeah, shades
always
of 93.
Always protecting America.
Yes, always protecting America, the Undertaker.
But let's move past summer. It's a
yes.
great, this is a WrestleMania podcast, not a SummerSlam. By
right.
the way, what are you doing in August? We could do this for SummerSlam.
That would be great. But yeah, we're working through the macro here.
After SummerSlam, I want to bring this back full circle to how you started this.
Yeah.
I thought that as well as Lesnar had been booked up to that point,
mm-hmm.
things started to, they didn't do him any favors.
Right.
You talk about the brand split.
Mm-hmm.
People forget about this because it was so – they were – I mean, it was crazy, the shifts in philosophies
mm-hmm.
they were going through during this period that we're going to talk about. They decided to make two world champions, which is an idea that you know that I feel is just hideous. I there are very few ideas I have detested
right.
more in the history of this company than the split world champions.
And not that this matters as much – but then you had a tag team title on each brand, neither of which mattered even as much as the old Smoky Mountain Tag Team
yes.
Championship.
The splintering, and they got rid of the Intercontinental title at one point. So,
and the U.S. had been morphed into that during the invasion the year before.
Yeah. You need a scorecard for this stuff, and we simply just don't have enough airtime to probably
right.
go over all that. But the guy who they gave, predictably, that is just literally given the Raw title was Triple
right.
H. And not to bag on Triple H, because it really actually has nothing to do with him. I mean, it is, like I said, predictable it would happen with him, but
right.
I thought it cheapened Lesnar's star
yep.
when they just out of thin air made a second championship. And you know me, I'm a big history fan when
right.
it comes to wrestling. Why they did this when, and I know not a lot of eyes were on this product at the time, but when they had the two world champions in WCW, everyone called it the big fake gold belt. They called
right.
it the WCW International Championship.
Mm-hmm.
For legal reasons, they brought in the NWA. The NWA pulled out. They
right.
still had this other title, and they just got rid of it. That was so maligned. Like, everyone's like, this is stupid. Why do you have, a pretend world champion? And for the most part, and we're going to probably beat this drum every WrestleMania we talk about from here on out, the one world championship is always like the diet version or the caffeine-free version or
right.
the light version. There are a few times when it's been equal, but I would argue that that's not even beneficial. People like to know what the main match is.
Right.
I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but when I have people over that maybe don't watch hardly at all, they're just over to watch WrestleMania because it's a big deal, and there's two world championship matches. I've been asked this multiple times over the last 6 years. They're like, wait a minute, I just thought I saw the world championship match. Who's the world champion? It's Buck Woodward, who I didn't agree with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agreed with it, one point he made way back when he said the brand split was just a very lazy and unimaginative way to split the roster into two touring groups.
Right.
And, you know, people say, oh, there used to be two touring groups. There used to be three. You know, there used to be C shows in the 80s. If you tell your average Tom, Dick, or Harry, your John Q. Walmart, if you will, that they don't care.
It's like, right.
They'll say, oh, okay, that's kind of interesting, but so? And here's the thing. They didn't have two champions, though,
right,
during that period. Okay, they had two touring brands. And then some people say, well, fans today, you know, they want to know who they're going to see. Mm-hmm. Completely disagree. The brand draws now. It's right. Not like...
Because they never advertise it. They don't have ads on TV to tell you who's coming to the queue.
And I guess at some point when they first started doing this, maybe they did.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, there hasn't been a name, you know, say, you know, like a Hogan, for instance, the A's, where you'd just be desperate to throw him on there against anybody.
Right.
So you could draw the packed house. And if Hogan's name wasn't on there, you were going to draw significantly less. There is no name post-Austin, post-Rock that has mattered enough that can tangibly increase attendance.
That's true.
By putting his name on the card.
That's true.
So I have waited patiently for them to kill the split world championships, you know, but, you know, 9 years, almost 10 years later, they're still doing it. I didn't like it then. I definitely don't like it now, because at least back then, in the early part, they were two guys kind of at the caliber, and, you know, I love CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's not like when this was originally envisioned, you have Austin on one brand, Rock.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I don't like it. I think it's confusing. I think it cheapens whoever, you know, I think it cheapens both guys.
Yeah.
Whoever's holding the title, it just makes them look weaker. It makes you rush people to that spot.
Right.
Before they're ready.
Right.
And then you inevitably, you know, I mean, CM Punk, people forget, the guy had won it twice before the big win last summer. No one really remembers that anymore,
right,
because it didn't matter. They weren't very productive runs.
Right, and it's a thing where, and where he could say in the promos leading up to it, I think he alluded to that he'd been on top before, I had it, but I wasn't the man. When there was only one world title, if you held it for however long, you were the man at that
time.
Yeah,
and now it's not. I mean, you could argue right now he's not really the man, but that's a different story for different.
But we're covering the original sin here as we're setting this up.
Yeah,
you have
the original sin was they had the one guy, you know, after years of Austin, Rock, Triple H, and it's another thing we didn't touch on either.
Mm-hmm.
Austin quit in 02.
Yeah.
Austin quit
in 02. Took his ball, went home, thanks to the Rock saying that and backstabbing him on TV just because Vince wanted him to.
Yes. I was kind of sick of Austin at that point anyway, to be honest.
He was a little stale.
He had been stale. You know, Rock obviously was a little stale because the fans were turning on him.
Right.
Triple H was certainly getting a little stale, needless to say.
Yes, he was. That was that turned into a pretty horrific face
so
by the time it was done.
Yeah, and then they just wound up turning him back heel when Michaels came back. And even the setup for that was bad. Remember, like, he would just pretend to be concerned and, like, no one bought it?
Right.
Everyone's like, just turn heel already, dog.
Right. Well, that was after he'd already attacked him.
Yeah.
It was like, I attacked him, but I think it's reprehensible somebody took it further than that. Like, what?
And then it was like, it was me. And everyone's like, wow, I never would have guessed that. But anyway.
Yeah, it was me all along,
They
Austin.
Had this huge new star, Lesnar, and they cheapened him by making another world championship. Now, it's interesting at this point. They still were not doing the split pay-per-view. We haven't hit that period yet where they split the pay-per-views up, where you were Raw only pay-per-views, SmackDown only pay-per-views.
Right.
That was kind of the one time where they did do the whole thing right, I guess. If you're going to do it, you should do it that way.
Until June of 03, it was like it is now, where it would be the best of both brands, ostensibly, on a pay-per-view.
Yeah. But the other thing I didn't like about Lesnar, and we've kind of referenced this in previous podcasts, this name, we certainly talked about with Diesel, they turn him into Smiling Brock. Brock Lesnar, to me, is best served as a monster heel.
Right.
And he got over to the point where people were cheering him. So they turned him. That whole thing with him losing to the Big Show, I never got that. I've never gotten any of the Big Show's title wins other than the fact they're trying to justify his contract.
Right.
To me, I was like,
Why?
Well, they wanted a transitional guy to Kurt Angle. I understand that he couldn't drop it directly to Kurt Angle if that's going to be the WrestleMania match, because traditionally WrestleMania is not a rematch of a prominent match anyways.
And that was Paul Heyman's big idea,
yeah,
was to do Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle, obviously two guys mm-hmm. with incredible amateur backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they rushed it. I thought they rushed it onto this show.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I would have had Lesnar, if you do want to turn him into babyface, and I don't think Lesnar is a babyface carrying the company works. Again, I think he is better suited as a monster heel. Mm-hmm. But I always had the opinion that the WrestleMania 19 main event should have been Lesnar holding the title the whole way through
mm-hmm.
against like an Austin or a Rock. To really, now he'd already beaten the Rock, and they, you know, the impetus for Austin quitting was mm-hmm. he didn't want to do a job on Raw to Lesnar,
right,
which was a stupid idea anyway. You don't
right.
you don't job a guy like Steve Austin to Brock Lesnar on Raw for
yeah.
free. Okay, that's a pay-per-view match.
Right.
Okay, now maybe an old piece of garbage like Hogan you do it on TV.
And they
which
did.
They did.
Yeah,
which was brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, was that beautiful.
The best part of that was the double cross or implicit double cross. Hogan thought he was getting the win back at Survivor Series and be the first guy to beat Lesnar. That's awesome.
Oh, that's brilliant. Whoever
yeah.
whoever came up
that
with
was
that,
Vince.
There needs to be more of that.
That was Vince. Vince was like, yeah, we'll work out the details after you do the stretcher job, and he paints your own blood on you.
Say what you will, that was a great way to put Brock Lesnar over. That's
well,
what Hogan should have done. That, to be honest with you, he comes back and has that match. And here's another guy. He's hanging around still, too. You know who.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back. He has the memorable match with The Rock at WrestleMania. Everyone loves him now all of a sudden.
Right.
In between that moment and him doing the mega job
mm-hmm.
for Lesnar on SmackDown, he did nothing for
he
me,
had
man.
The
it was just all he wins
he
the
won,
title.
He won the title from Triple H. Yeah, I mean that
you,
was
proving that. Yeah, I'll tell you what, you got to get up pretty, or even Triple H doesn't get up early enough in the
yeah.
morning to get over old Double H. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
Yeah, I
so.
Mean, if we're looking at maybe the two greatest politicians in the history of the business, but. If you're looking to
we
see,
ain't talking Obama Romney,
no, no, you're not. That's the worst matchup in American history. But as far as it goes with wrestling, yeah, I mean, if you're wondering who's the better politician, I think the in-ring results at Backlash 02 might tell you all you need to know about that. But this whole setup here, you had a couple of these programs working through this first year. I mean, this was one of them, It really makes a lot of sense the more I think about it, of you breaking this off and starting us off with 19 here, because the brand split was unprecedented. In a way, it was the most jarring break between one WrestleMania and the next, even though a lot of the talent was the same, but the directions that they went through, it was so schizophrenic on and off.
Brand extension.
Brand
Thank
extension,
you very much, Rick
yes,
Morris.
Yes, yeah, yes.
Remember how like big they were? It's not
yeah.
a split, it's an extension. That's when
yeah.
that's when the NASDAQ ease, as I like to call it,
yeah.
really began creeping into the wrestling
Well,
lexicon.
They became the WWE in the spring of 02. We've done our last WWF WrestleMania with 18.
Sure, that's another big thing. So there
yeah.
were a lot of big things happening kind
yeah.
of behind the scenes, you know, not angle related. It was just a lot of, what's the term I'm looking for here, Ricky? Help
yeah,
me out. Aesthetic. I don't know what I'm thinking, but you know what I'm
saying? Stylistic things.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Eric Bischoff was brought back on camera as the Raw GM.
That's right. Okay, yeah, that's right. And the dreaded, here's another thing that I'm saying. It's funny
right.
that we're finally, hopefully they'll kill this off once mm-hmm. and for all. This year, we have these split GMs as well.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though.
Bischoff and Stephanie it worked with, but to this point, that's a dead role.
How do you have any semblance of a brand split when it's the same guy running both shows? That part
well,
I just
there
don't
is,
get.
It isn't a split anymore.
Yeah, but you still have, again.
There's the guys the, that there is, but
yeah, well,
there really isn't. I mean, other than the fact that there's two world champions.
But it just makes it all the more stupid that they hang on to that guise of a split. They,
hey, you're preaching to the converted there.
Right. Bischoff was brought back. Vinnie Roux was almost brought back that summer behind the scenes. It was that thing, and I think he recounted it on SNS with you the one time that he was brought back in. You know, trial of a couple of days, didn't make it through the political process.
Yeah, didn't he want to just, like, have all the belts vacated? He's like, you know, let's just vacate all the titles.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me if it was part of it, because one of the things that killed WCW the most was all the resets, and he was responsible
yeah,
for
let's just bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you've been watching for the last couple of months means nothing.
Yeah.
And they kept doing that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it was like, how do they think anybody was going to tune in?
Well, and I'll be, and you know what's funny, at the end of the day, you know what, nothing you did watch mattered, really.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Yeah, that was horrific. So there was all these things happening that set the stage for 19. It was one of the biggest earthquakes, really, in the history of the company in that year.
We should also bring up that probably for the only time in the split history, maybe they just wanted to put more emphasis to really, because SmackDown has always been viewed as the B show in this company. But there was a short period of time, Rick Morrison, I know you were watching, where I couldn't stand Raw.
Yeah.
When Triple H was made the champion, they did that awful.
Right.
Abysmal. Atrocious. Wretched. Hideous angle with Kane, the Katie Vick thing. And I could, I mean, that was, Raw sucked. SmackDown, which was being booked by Paul Heyman and gravy trained, you know, as Stephanie McMahon, you know, on screen trying to take all the credit for it. You know, you had the SmackDown 6, which, unfortunately, the way that kind of panned out isn't so fun for a lot of those guys, but...
Yeah, if they did a reunion these days, it would be the SmackDown 4.
Yeah, and, you know, they would, a lot of people would be limping into the room,
That's true.
Maybe because of those matches, but you had Paul Heyman book it, and SmackDown was considered, going into WrestleMania 19, this needs to be talked about, as I think by those in the know, as the better brand. Angle Lesnar, which wasn't the true headliner, and we're going to get into that later, why this WrestleMania did a bad number. But Angle Lesnar from a, you know, touring regulars perspective was considered the big match, and that was a SmackDown match. You don't see that too often.
To the extent to which, and again, The Rock and Austin weren't around much between 18 and 19, but when they were around, they were primarily on Raw. Triple H was on Raw, and he was always given the biggest push no matter what. Shawn Michaels at SummerSlam, then when he came back later on, was on Raw. Jericho, Ric Flair was on Raw. So it was one of those things, to a certain extent. I hear what you're saying about SmackDown being the better show, but I think it was almost a precursor of what would happen many different times in many subsequent years. Raw was more of the name show. SmackDown was more of the quality show.
Yeah, I certainly would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that, but... Do we want to jump into this card now?
Well, last thing I want to mention before this, and I don't know that it plays much of a role in this card, but it's worth mentioning anyways. One of the things that happened with the brand split was bust up of tag teams for the sake of it. Like, we're going to have Deacon Devon on the one show and then Bubba Ray getting a push as a face on the other show.
They did that. It was kind of... And I'll give them some credit. It's one of those things that to get... Oh, it's why you don't do things like that, a brand split.
Yeah.
Because to get it over, you have to do illogical... Or not illogical, pardon me. Things are kind of logistical nightmares.
Right.
Remember like when they did the Lethal Lottery in WCW? And it just so happened that tag team partners kept getting paired against each other?
But some of them were so random, I always swore that there were times they forgot to work it.
Yeah, they did say that in the one, but...
Did they really? Is that a shoot?
There's a rumor. I don't know if it's true. I wasn't there. Right? But you're right. They did that because they wanted to put it over. But then they split up all the teams. And then then you realize, you're like, wait a minute. All these guys suck as singles guys. What are you doing?
And then they're going to have two tag team titles for them all to fight
after splitting over all the good teams up and then putting together a bunch of hodgepodge guys. So you're right. There was logistically 02 and 03. I remember back in SNS, we always referred to those. Despite the star power and despite the fact there was still a lot, you were getting a lot of good matches just based on who was still in the company at that time, from a booking perspective, was just booked very poorly. Mm-hmm. I think they did a lot of damage that wouldn't be felt till years down the road.
Because it was jerky, panic, start and stop
there
stuff.
There was a lot of panicky stuff.
Yeah, and it was – they've been very inconsistent over the years, but that first year especially in terms of – the firmness of the brand split.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a period where guys were just jumping between shows, and then it was like, okay, you can't do that anymore, all right. And then, like, after a bunch of guys had showed up on the other show, well, you're not allowed to show up on the other show if you're not part of it anymore. It set the stage for all the inconsistent we've seen in the years since. So this all basically builds to what we were seeing at 19, all this macro setup.
Okay, and I want to talk about Lesnar Angle. Let's talk about the matches at WrestleMania 19.
That was the one that closed it.
Lesnar Angle closed it. A couple things here. I already said I thought they rushed into this. I understand that Paul Heyman, this was his vision to do this match. Mm-hmm. And there is a natural storyline in there. Now, I don't think, and you're going to, I think, disagree with me. We were talking off air. I don't think that backstory is enough to headline WrestleMania.
Well.
I know that sounds crazy considering what Brock, the pay-per-view draw Lesnar became and how well-known a Kurt Angle is. I got the sense way back when, you have to be fair and put, you know, your 2003 hat back on.
Right.
This seemed like a step down from your Austin Rocks and whatnot.
Yeah, but...
in terms of star power.
Well, so,
and I thought it was rushed. I hated, again, that whole transitional thing with the Big Show.
Right.
And Angle, you know, Heyman goes to Angle. It kind of made no sense.
Unless you're doing a thing where... Unless it's a deal where Austin or Rock is going to be in this match, what would have been your answer other than that? I mean, or are you saying Austin or The Rock should have been in this title match?
I think Brock Lesnar should have kept the title. First of all, he never should have lost it.
Okay.
I'm not – forget how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Lesnar was a guy who should have just gotten a diesel-type length in – I mean, for God's sake, they let JBL hold on to it for 10 years.
Right.
For a different reason, because there was no one else, basically.
Right.
But I think not – here's how much regard I had for Brock Lesnar at the time. Not only should they not have split the world championships,
mm-hmm.
he should have been the only world champion and held on to it.
Okay.
All the way through. Now, do you turn him face still? I don't know if you can fight the audience on that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I didn't care for Smiling Brock. I know the Bob Sacramento of the show, Chad Repak,
yeah.
Liked when he was Smiling Brock when he beat up that mariachi band and had that sombrero on, but he was a heel then.
Well, here's the thing, though. A guy that he gets compared to a lot, and we'll talk about him in the next WrestleMania, Goldberg. Goldberg, we forget at the very beginning, and it didn't last long, but at the very beginning of his run in WCW, he was a heel. He kept, as I recall, I mean, most of the mannerisms. I don't think Goldberg really softened much in his presentation when he was a face. I think Brock Lesnar, if given the same kind of intensity as a face, could have been awesome.
Yeah, and maybe he would have been. Maybe... that's what you do here in mm-hmm. WrestleMania 19. This is where you turn him face, and
yeah.
you kind of by him by beat. Now he already had beaten The Rock,
right?
So, and The Rock then turns heel, you know, with Rock Hogan 2, which is a dog of a match.
Yeah,
involving Pat Patterson, favorite Sylvain Grenier.
Yes, that was at No Way Out. It was the setup here for bringing Hulk Hogan back and putting him in a feud with Vince McMahon.
Which we'll touch on.
The other thing is here, and I just want to play devil's advocate with you a little bit, because my guess is you probably like the build right now of CM Punk and Jericho, best in the world. To me, that's kind of what they were going for here. Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle. Who is the best in the world?
And guess
we have
what?
Similar background.
And guess what?
Like what?
CM Punk, Chris Jericho's going third from the top, buddy.
Okay. All right, so
you have... The concept of who is the best in-ring performer
yeah.
is not, while you and I may love it, and people who listen to this podcast may love it, is not a mainstream storyline.
Ooh, the folks that sell the Smart Mark cards are going to be looking for yours.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's just a fact.
Okay.
I mean, look at Rock John Cena. I mean, it's not Gotch Hackenschmidt, okay? So... I thought, and here's the thing, I want to bring it back, though.
Yeah.
Bring back the focus to this Angle-Lesnar thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was rushed, and then there was the other issue, too. They got in a lot of trouble.
They were setting it up for like 4 months, though, basically.
Well, yeah, but then let's talk about it.
Okay.
See, to me, that's the other thing, too. WrestleMania, I mean, it should be very divisive. I'm from the old school where you don't really continue. Although they've done, there were, you know, Hogan Savage certainly continued through the summer. There have been instances where the WrestleMania main event program continued through the summer, but a little fate intervened. Ricky, we're forgetting the Angle neck injury. Remember, there was some
which
serious
happened in February. He arguably shouldn't even have wrestled on this one here. They shot a SmackDown thing, which might have been the impetus for taking the title off of him there. If you remember, his brother Eric, who looked almost like him, was in the ring in a hoodie, and they did a thing there. And there were a lot of people thinking that they were going to use that switcheroo to get the belt off him before WrestleMania, because he was in such bad shape.
He
should have gone out
and he took a very controversial, I can't even remember. It was something very controversial. He could work it. So I always remember this match. This match is kind of tainted by a few things.
His health. Yeah.
His health. And then, of course, in the actual match itself, Lesnar botching the Shooting Star Press.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was something that you had heard. I'd never actually seen him do it. OVW tapes didn't really exist then, if they did, they were very difficult to get a hold of, and I just didn't have the desire to. I had never actually seen him do a Shooting Star Press. I'd always heard that he could, and there was always that rumor that at WrestleMania he was going to bust it out. And it's a very good well-worked match inside the ring.
Right.
But he botches it bad at the end. And to me, when you do a big spot like that and you botch it, it does take a little away from it. I mean, the right guy goes over, Lesnar, but there was kind of a sense of inevitability to it that...
Yeah.
And I'm dogging on a match, and I think it does squeak in the top 20 all-time WrestleMania matches.
Right.
But I just, again, Lajiska... Now, it wouldn't have worked. The great thing, the ironic thing is I'm kind of thinking, you know, you have Lesnar maybe beating Austin at this show to cement himself as the new guy. If you then wait the next year, you know, Lesnar Angle takes on a whole different thing because Angle's really messed up and Lesnar's leaving.
Right.
Now, who knows if you – I mean, maybe Lesnar was just going to leave whenever. Maybe he was just not in this for the long haul regardless.
Right.
But I don't know. To me, this just didn't have the feeling of that WrestleMania closer, although, you know, certainly two good cornerstones. But the interesting thing is, as much as I'm dogging on them, they were not the reason. Now, they're not in the company, so it's probably company line that they are the reason why this show did not draw well. We need to talk about this. That
right.
As good as of an in-ring show as WrestleMania 19 was,
right.
It drew a shockingly bad number. And they blame it on being in Seattle, you know, what... Why that matters when I'm sitting in Cleveland, Ohio, and ordered on pay-per-view.
I did always think it was weird that they held it at Safeco, because the one thing about that, for anybody that really follows their MLB, yes, it's a dome stadium, but it's one of the rare ones. It's a dome that just sits on top. It's not sealed like other ones are here. And it's March in late Seattle. I'm sure they had the heat cranked up, but I'm thinking to myself, this is weird, because if it's like a 30-degree day outside, that could make it weird.
Keep that in mind for next year when they're in East Rutherford.
Where there won't even be the semblance of that. You're right about that.
Yeah, keep that in mind, sports fans.
Yeah.
But the major promoted match, and we haven't even really touched on this yet.
Yeah.
The match that, if you have the VHS, the DVD, what match is featured on the market on the front of that? It ain't Angle Lesnar. It's Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
And I blame this match for why this... That received the, you know, the majority of the focus on Raw, and I think it was a flop. Vince McMahon, we talked about this before, is not, you know, whether you talk about the St. Valentine's Day pay-per-view against Austin or the Armageddon pay-per-view where Stephanie turns against Triple H, people have not bought in large, and I heard Dave Meltzer go on this, so I know it, you know, he was talking about the numbers were both considered internally huge disappointments for those, and then this one obviously too. When it comes to Vince as a wrestler, people don't really want to spend a lot their pay-per-view dollars on that.
But
seems.
This is why they always garbage it up and make it a street fight, though. That supposedly that's supposed to be the equalizer, that Vince will have some stooges run in or somebody else. That's supposed to be the thing, theoretically, that helps you suspend your disbelief enough when he's in there with a legend. And believe me, and that's the thing. Vince is only ever in there with the biggest names because they're trying to make it draw. But by the same token, let me just say one other thing, too.
Well, and here's the thing, too.
Yeah.
That's why I think you've got to pin it on Vince.
Right.
Austin's drawn. Triple H is drawn.
Right.
Hogan's certainly drawn big. So what's the one consistent there?
It's
Vince. People, you know, to me, he was a great character for a long time. By this point, no more.
Right.
By 03, the Vince character kind of, you know, jumped the shark, I think, to some degree. And this was kind of positioned as, you know, the two biggest names in WrestleMania history at the time. You know, the two names that made WrestleMania, the promoter and the star. And it didn't work.
I have another point about Vince, and this is, I've never heard this cited as a reason that the boom era was killed, but I think this is a contributory cause. Let's tie this to the main event here for a second and what would happen later in the year. Essentially, when Kurt Angle came back later in the year, he would be a face, and then had a face-versus-face match with Brock Lesnar, won the title
Lesnar
back.
Lesnar goes heel.
It goes heel. But here's the thing, though. Kurt Angle, of all the major characters of that time, was he not the perfect sycophant that if there was going to be, like, say, a long-term lackey to Vince McMahon, a long-term ass-kisser, and keep in mind that was predicated on the end of the invasion, that he was Vince McMahon's spy in the other camp. And it was a thing where, and they had Vince turn on him to go with Brock Lesnar. Here's the thing. My criticism of WCW in the dying days is that every 5 minutes, somebody was turning and there was no consistency. Vince McMahon was both at odds with and on the same side of, at varying points in times, just about every top star of the time period. Fans could not invest in them in the kayfabe sense. Even Steve Austin was a Vince McMahon lackey at one point. The Rock, when he came back during this stretch here. Brock Lesnar later in the year was the impetus for his heel turn again. That was the problem with Vince, is that he attached himself to everybody. There were no constants that were either on his side or constants that were opposed to him. That was a little bit of WCW-itis in there.
Yes, it was. And it's funny what you say about Angle. Kurt Angle is another guy, too.
Yeah.
That is much better as a heel than a face.
I agree.
Again, I think there have been times where I'm not disagreeing to turn him face. You know, 01, he did a pretty good job challenging Austin. It was kind of interesting. He had Austin as a heel, Angle as a face during the invasion.
Yeah.
When he came back, and you talk about the 03 face run,
yeah.
A lot of that, I think, was the fans appreciating him battling through that injury.
Right.
I think that was a very real and organic turn there. But you're right. And here's the thing with Vince and Hogan. People just didn't buy that.
They tried to play on the history. There was the 19 years of history
between them. It was never...
On paper, I can see why they thought it was going to do much better than it did. Roddy Piper to spice up the match and add more history to it.
God, was he fat when he showed up, too. Not to dog him. I mean, yeah, I haven't missed many meals either.
But. Well, he had just been in a car accident to hear him tell the story. Yeah. But by the same token, that's the kind of thing. As much as I criticized it with WrestleMania 15, the last-minute throw-up of Big Show versus Mankind,
yeah.
If they had teased it about Piper's going to be there, what's he going to do? That could have helped a little bit, right?
Sure.
You should have mentioned it ahead of time.
Sure, yeah. I guess so. But to me, I just don't think people bought they didn't buy that Vince and Hogan didn't like each other. I think, they tried to bring I remember they brought the steroid thing into the equation, which was kind of big to listen to at the time, but... Again, that's not something tangible that people...
There was so much heat between them when Hogan left the company and was trying to bury him that it was believable.
Yeah, but Vince always brings him back. I mean, so...
Yeah, that's true.
Austin and Vince always got along well, too, and they don't, obviously... I mean, they had one of the greatest money-drawing feuds of all time, and they didn't, by all means, legitimately hate each other at all. But people...
Not till 02, 03,
yeah. They got people to buy that. People didn't buy into this.
Okay.
Here's the problem, too. When you think Vince McMahon feuding with the wrestler, again, what do you always think of? The Austin feud. Everything since then has just been a cheaper version of it, including this. And I didn't I didn't care for that.
Yeah,
match.
I mean, and
I mean, you know me, given my likes and dislikes, I wasn't going to like this that much going in. I kind of remember the room at large. Overbookamania was running wild. But
as far as the movement around the ring between the two of these guys. Was not exactly Blood Generation v. Do Fixer.
Yes, there. Thank you very much. Yeah. You've done your homework again.
I have. So that was kind of lackluster. Again, you look at there were three matches at a minimum that had immense star power.
Yeah,
to
when
them.
You look back at it, like this, it's
yeah.
When it looked back, I think the thing with this WrestleMania is Ricky,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just going to basically regurgitate what you just said, and mm-hmm. probably we're going to say, and I'm hijacking it, I'm threadjacking you.
Is
when you look at the star power of this WrestleMania, the buy rate's shocking.
Yeah, it is.
But a lot of it was kind of just dynamics were wrong.
Buy rates are predicated on booking, though.
Yeah,
vomit up your stuff onto a sheet, it doesn't matter how many big names you got there.
And I didn't like continuing the thread here. And by the way, this is a fine WrestleMania, I like to say. But overall, I mean, I think it's certainly one of the seven best, like I said. I would have it at 7.
Okay.
This one, I think the next two we're going to talk about are both better, but that's whatever. We'll talk about that a little later. I didn't like the Rock-Austin dynamic here either with heel Rock, who he was great at that time, and he should have been a heel.
Right.
Going over Austin clean, basically just to set up heel Rock doing a job to the incoming babyface Bill Goldberg the following month.
Well, it was that, and then it was also a thing where...
Austin was lead. I mean, this is his last real match.
It was, and had they... It was one of those things. What happened with Austin, it somewhat mirrored what would happen 8 years later with Edge. Edge had his last match for the World Championship where he defended against Alberto Del Rio last year at Mania. This was it for Austin. He had a medical scare right on the eve of WrestleMania. So maybe the book or maybe the medical situation dictated it. But by the same token, I alluded to you off here. I thought there was a little bit of politics here. Even benign politics in my book are politics. Austin desperately wanted to put The Rock over. He felt that that was the way creatively to top off their trilogy. So I don't disagree with that. When a guy is begging to lay down for another guy, that's no less politics, regardless of where his heart is in the matter. It's a thing where Austin exerted himself to do that because he was buddies with The Rock and whatever.
I wish he would have done it for Lesnar.
Right.
I think it would have been better served.
Right.
And again, Lesnar was in there with somebody who had a major medical issue at the time anyway.
Right.
So I always thought the main event of the show should have been Brock Lesnar going over Steve Austin.
You're probably
now,
right.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that dynamic would have been fractured too, but
right.
I just didn't like, first of all, it just again seemed like The Rock heel turn deserves so much more, and he was leaving. I know that's a problem. You can't say, no, we like how well you're not making this movie. You know, you can't, they didn't have the power. I mean, that was out of their hands.
Right.
But I always thought that a heel turned Rock would have been the guy to maybe get revenge and then go on to beat Lesnar. Mm-hmm. I thought Goldberg should have been brought in as a heel.
Interesting.
I think that there was a lot of backlash by, no, pardon the pun, because that's the pay-per-view debuts at, against Goldberg. I would have liked to see The Rock and Goldberg together after the show as kind of like a Hollywood-type connection as
see,
heels.
I think the fans are such sheep that it's just, Goldberg's coming in, oh, Goldberg, Goldberg. I don't think there was any healing the guy. Unless you drastically change his character, in which case, and Hollywooding him up would kind of change his character. But that's in the whole thing of a fame
I never got the sense that he was like this runaway awesome baby face. I mean, they tried to position that way, but
I think
Goldberg was always, they always made him seem like he was an Austin, you know, during the Monday Night War, the dying days, that he was the Austin ripoff.
Yeah, and I don't know about that. He was a guy who was, and the booking limited him, because by 99 he was getting kneecapped politically, but by the same token, he was firmly in the mix of, he only ever loses if he gets screwed royally. I mean, he somebody needs to rip like a fire hydrant out of that ground and hit him in the head before he'll get pinned.
Yeah, but at the same time, there was a lot of backlash. I mean, do you remember? People forget about this. It's Starrcade 98 when the streak ends.
Yeah.
The crowd, and it wasn't like face-hating Philly, it was Washington, D.C.,
yeah,
goes crazy for Kevin Nash beating him. Like, Kevin Nash gets a... Put it on.
All right.
Kevin Nash gets probably the biggest babyface reaction of his career.
It was a face-versus-face match.
Yeah, but he cheated. Yeah, Scott Hall, you know, hit
it.
Yeah.
Well, but it wasn't clear until later that was part of the storyline that he was in on it, so...
True, but still, like, don't you think that from a promoter's point of view, you have Goldberg, who was kind of the... you know, the golden goose at the time against Kevin Nash, you know, you don't sense that the crowd is really,
right.
To me, like in retrospect, when you think of that, like, no, you wouldn't think the crowd would be really energized to see Kevin Nash take the title from Goldberg.
See, this is an interesting philosophical point, because I believe in being creative. I believe in trying to stretch the bounds here in what you're doing and not just regurgitate stuff. Having said that, there are some guys where you're going so far against the grain, it's not going to work. All the times in the last, 13, 14 years when they've tried to make Ric Flair a heel, what's that done to business? Has Ric Flair been heel in any boom periods over that period of time? No, I would argue that was a contributory factor to WCW going in the toilet.
Agreed.
When they tried to shove him down our throats as a heel. Goldberg, I think
you're
looking at the
same
thing.
But there was so much
heritage. We will make you fans boo Goldberg. I just don't think it was
really
possible.
Am I wrong? Am I just kind of looking at this selfishly? Because
I think that might be a little might be a little bit smart on your part there. About,
I didn't. I mean, yeah, I never liked Goldberg, really.
You're
I guess.
Getting your smart mark card back.
But
even
it,
after
wasn't,
you.
It wasn't because I didn't like him because he didn't work.
Right.
I just thought he was very limited and just. I always
see,
got. I really.
The fans,
am I wrong?
The fans
here?
Were Pavlov's dog, man.
Really?
I'm
am
telling
I wrong?
You. I think you're absolutely
you didn't
wrong.
You get the sense that there was a considerable backlash against Goldberg? I'm not saying it was, say.
Among the smart fans, maybe. But, I mean,
really?
We got to separate ourselves from the mouth breathers that populate the WWE arena shows and pay per views.
I
used
to do a good job of that. Really?
I
misread that whole thing. I always imagined in my head that
I think
Bill Goldberg as a heel in the WWE would have worked great.
I think you were, on this matter, I think you are the pampered, limousine, liberal, elitist here out of touch with the masses.
All right. I guess I'm wrong. I always thought that that was the right.
Interesting.
Because, well, and here's the thing, too. Given the way they treated the WCW guys, for him to come in as a babyface and beat one of their own, The Rock, as a heel.
True.
And for them to expect the. That's what I thought. I thought that dynamic also, again, and not to, you know, just kind of like breeze by the show, but I thought that was screwed up, too. Like, okay, you're supposed to. Because Goldberg is a WCW guy.
Right.
Okay.
Saw the year before with Rock and Hogan. That didn't matter to these crowds. They would cheer and boo who they wanted.
Yeah, but Hogan's a WWE guy.
Yeah, that's true.
He was made, you know, he might be made in the USA, but he was made in the WWF.
True.
Okay? But Goldberg is made in WCW. Goldberg, more than, I mean, only Ric Flair would be the only guy, the only other guy of note that was brought in that I think was a clear WCW. Well, Scott Steiner was
Scott
a WCW.
Steiner,
yeah, but he didn't matter. And by the way,
who wasn't on this show? No, I'm looking at this. Scott Steiner was not on this show.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. He was brought in.
He main evented Royal Rumble and No Way Out with Triple H. And,
yeah, let's talk about Triple H, shall we? Because this title reign stunk.
Yeah, this was a bad one. Again, you said off air, and I wouldn't disagree with this in a vacuum that he should have gone over Booker T. The way that they had it booked, they did long-lasting damage to Booker T by not having him win the match because of the racial component that had been put into this. There comes a point in time where it's booking 101. When a face is so put upon, he has to go over to defend his own honor in the end.
Or he looks like a dweeb, yeah.
And not only that, too, and I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure a smart mark like you has caught on this because a smart mark like me did. Triple H, one could have read War and Peace in the amount of time between when he pedigreed Booker T and crawled over to pin him. I don't know if you remember that part of it. That was all over the interwebs at the time here on the message boards and whatnot, I assure you. Triple H, whether it be...
He was kind of at his political worst during this period, I think.
And they were coming off a match. I don't remember what was before. I think it was after the Michaels-Jericho match with a lot of near falls, a lot of finishes kicked out of whatever. And it was the contrast of he hits him with one finishing maneuver and then crawls over slowly to pin him and gets the three count. The booking and the politics on this was absolutely horrific. This was indefensible.
I remember a lot of people being more upset about this than I was. Maybe I just, again, being a smart mark, just knew. Like, I was like, look, people, it's kind of like the way I view Browns, these Facebook general managers with the Cleveland Browns, okay? Like, what are you people doing? Do you really think this is going to work?
Right.
It's like, come on, you people really think they're going to put Booker T over? Come on.
Well, by the same token, okay, if you're looking at the rest of the roster, you make an excellent point.
Here's the other thing, too. Yeah. I was also pissed because I thought somebody else should have been in Booker T's spot.
Okay.
Well, RVD. RVD.
Right.
If you remember, there's a great promo he cuts where he clearly was getting under Triple H's skin in fall of 02.
Yeah.
And Triple H just kills him at like an Unforgiven or something. Like, they just beats him pretty clean.
Right.
Or Flair turned on RVD in that budding, you know, 3-week friendship, but and becomes Triple H's manager here. Flair.
Right. Well, you've sort of won me over to the point of view that at the very least, barring the racialization of the storyline and the fact that Booker T had to go over by the way that they did it, you've sort of won me over, and I haven't thought of it this way
before.
This
would not have been the place for him to go over,
because Triple H had Goldberg coming in. He had Van Damme on the roster. He had Shawn Michaels still on the roster. There was more money to be made in having big faces chase Triple H at this point. God, I feel so dirty, like I'm giving into Triple H's propaganda by admitting this.
But the thing is, also, again, middle of the card.
This was the first brand split.
Yeah, they were doing a title change. Yeah. Everyone knew it with Lesnar getting it back.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have behooved Booker T to win the title here.
Yeah, you're right.
I just don't.
You're right.
I mean, and I'm not saying, I'm not condoning any of Triple H's, you know, crawling over to pin him, but I just didn't buy that Booker T was going to win and going in, and he didn't.
He wasn't really done justice in the booking since coming over there. And frankly, it took a long time for him to catch up in WCW to where he should have been on the card also, too. So, Booker T was always a guy that
there's
was a
no
little
shame.
Bit
like, to me, here's the thing. It seems like with the here's why another reason I hate the split world titles.
Yeah,
it seems like it's a merit badge. Anyone who like is,
right.
who's really good should get one of these two titles. Well, because oh, this guy's doing really good. He you know he's performing great. He does, folks. There were a lot of greats in the olden days. Not right. to be the old guy. That were great for long periods of time that never even got the world title, never even sniffed it.
Exactly.
And, just because you're good does not mean you deserve a world title ring.
And as the saying goes, when the titles weren't passed around like the Bella Twins in a hot tub,
yes.
But by the same token, you didn't yet have the IC title brought back yet. It would be later this year on Raw, and the U.S. title on SmackDown, those would be brought back. But here's one of the consequences also of what you're talking about using it as a merit badge, because While both quote unquote world titles have been devalued, the secondary titles for the most part have been as well. You go through stretches;
those don't even count to them. Yeah, that's the point. Another reason why I thought that those belts, in my world, in my warped mind,
yeah.
I always say you have one world champion,
yeah.
and then the IC champion is maybe exclusive to Raw, US,
right.
and those titles. Those are title matches that main event the TV shows, and you can make those a lot bigger deals. If you had one world title and then the two, quote, secondary titles,
yeah.
I believe the two secondary titles would mean more.
But here's the thing, too. It's you look like a real loser when you go from being a world champion to, yay, I'm the Intercontinental Champion, cheer for me.
Yeah.
And act like it's supposed to be a big deal. Because it's if they presented it a little bit differently, then you could kind of get behind it. And back in the day, in the old days of wrestling, to go back to like what you're saying, somebody like Harley Race, he would go back and be the Missouri State champion, but it would be like, you know, so many guys have gone on from the Missouri State title to win the NWA World Heavyweight title, and I will use this to once again regain the world title.
Yeah.
There's ways to do it, and then there's ways not to do it. But, yeah, this was not even a great match either. The one before it was, it's so funny, the one before, it's Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho. Michaels goes over in 22:33. I watched this
best
WrestleMania.
Match of the show.
I watched it at my friend's place. He'd ordered WrestleMania on his computer.
Are you going where I think you're going?
I kind of am. And here's the thing. I'll,
really?
I'll tell
you know where I think you're going?
Yeah, yeah. I think you know. I know where you think I'm going with this. And I'll grant
say that two
I'll
times
grant
fast.
You. Yeah, exactly. I'll grant you that one of the things that this was the only match on the card where it really happened on my friend's computer where it was buffering.
Okay.
So
it's not where I thought you were going.
It was, but
I think buffering issues were.
Well, but here's the thing, though. When I read the critical praise for it afterwards, again, maybe I was distracted by the buffering.
Oh, I
maybe
think this
it
was a
whatever.
Fine wrestling match.
But I mean, after I watched it or after I read about it after the show, I was like. So people are trying to tell me this would have been like 4.5 stars if I hadn't had the buffering on the screen. I just maybe in my own mind I couldn't get past the choppiness.
Oh, maybe
of
oh, that's
how
not
it was
where
presented.
Oh, that's not where I was going with this
well,
at all.
I was much like Savage Steamboat. I'm saying that this is, in my estimation, it's lower in my mind than it is in the public's mind. I'm not going to say overrated, but that's I thought that's where you
I got
thought
it,
I was
I
going.
I got it. No. I got all it right. Number 15 all-time WrestleMania matches.
Okay, so I wouldn't have guessed
I'd
that.
I'd say it's a 4.25 star match, a high 4.25 star okay. match, and I'll tell you why it isn't 4.5 stars.
It's 2.75 of it buffers, let me tell you, pal.
No, I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you my problem with this match.
Okay.
Okay, and it seems like you just didn't think it was that good. I actually have a tangible issue with this match, and this is where I thought you're going. Wrong guy went over. Absolutely. Talking to me, there's no bigger Shawn Michaels fan than me. Jericho needed this win.
Here's the thing.
Jericho though. Needed the wrong guy went over.
Let me play counterpoint
the
to you.
The wrong guy went over let here. Me, the wrong guy went over here.
I have a counterpoint for you. And granted,
the wrong guy went over here.
I'll grant you this was not part of the storyline, but this was something from the Shawn Michaels DVD that I watched, the career retrospective DVD.
I like that DVD.
Had this been part of the storyline ahead of time, which I don't think it really was. I can absolutely defend Shawn Michaels going over in the sense of Shawn being like, I got to prove I still got it. Things have been pretty good.
He'd already
back.
Come...
I was world champion, yeah, but yeah. I got to prove it on the big stage
See,
that I'm still what I used to
I
be.
I think that had already been cemented.
Do you think it had? Because on
the guy came back and had one of the best matches of the last 10 years in his first match.
Well, maybe Shawn was selling a storyline in retrospect on the DVD, but I thought to myself, gee, Had they presented it that way at the time, it would have been absolutely defensible.
A match like
over.
This where it's always they kind of position it as the jaded understudy. You know, Jericho, like this was kind of booked as, I always used to
they
cheer
went for the
Shawn
shoot
Michaels.
Of that he grew up as a Shawn Michaels fan,
and now he wanted to destroy Shawn Michaels. The new guy, 9 times out of 10, should always go over the more established guy in a situation like this.
Sincerely, Bruno and Larry Zbysko?
That's it. I said 9 times out of 10, didn't I?
Okay.
Maybe Larry should have gone over. I hate Larry Zbysko, by the way.
Well,
you know, other than that, what was I going to say? I maintain that is my number one problem. That's my own
problem.
I watched it actually on a live pay-per-view feed, so I had no such buffering issues.
Okay.
My issue is I thought the wrong guy went over. I was kind of shocked that Michaels went over. Unlike, maybe it was kind of reversed. I knew it was inevitable Triple H was going over. But here, I was like, God, I hope Jerry. And when he did, I was kind of irritated.
By the way, and I just want to, if anybody.
Jericho could have really used the win.
If anybody from the former Titan Sports is listening, let me assure you, my friend had this via legitimate means on his pay-per-view, okay? He bought it from your crummy friggin' website. We weren't watching a buffering stream from overseas or pirated thing. Well,
it's
there
good
was
thing
none
that
of that
Dana White
on.
Didn't hear you.
Yeah,
by the
exactly.
Way.
There was none of that. I don't even know if back in 03 there was that.
I
kind
don't
of
know
stuff
if they did.
Much.
I don't know either. I don't
That's
remember.
Hard to say. We've covered everything on the card
that
thus
mattered.
Far that mattered for the undercard stuff here. This next one looks like a classic example of something at 8:46. But while the WWE tag team title meant nothing. The six guys in the ring, boy, I think I remember this one being damn good. Team Angle, Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas defeated Los Guerreros and Chris Benoit and Rhino. Those six guys in there, I'm trying to remember back.
This was
but
good. It,
yeah,
it was,
had
it was
to be,
kind of a step down from the SmackDown
had
six.
To be tremendous.
It was kind of a step down. The whole cycle with Angle getting hurt and Lesnar turning and then just speeding through that Lesnar. I thought that the breakup of Team Angle was too quick, too.
Right. Because you had five really good workers in there, and I always thought Rhino was no worse than acceptable. So
yeah, I thought he was six fine. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I always thought Rhino was fine. Trish Stratus defeated Victoria, the women's champion, with Steven Richards and Jazz in a triple threat match to win back the WWE women's title.
Yeah, it was
7-17.
The women's matches weren't bad back then, but still, I didn't care.
Yeah. This is a little trivia thing that we hit from before. Aside from. What was the time The Undertaker won by disqualification?
Giant Gonzalez.
Oh, Giant Gonzalez, or by count out at WrestleMania.
It was DQ. They did the ether soaked rag.
Okay. Interesting. I guess so if you're above 7 feet, you don't have to do a job to The Undertaker personally at WrestleMania. Because The Undertaker defeated Big Train and A-Show in a handicap match.
You mean Big Show and A-Train?
I'm sure. Yeah, as I conflate their identities,
the
Big A-Train
was always on the B-Show.
Yes, the A-Train. A-Train is on the B-Show. My flub actually set you up for a very fine line there.
Yes, thank you very much.
Big Show and A-Train in a handicap match, 9:45. He pinned the A-Train.
This was supposed to be a tag match involving Nathan Jones, one of the great misses in the history of this company.
Yes, exactly. He and his lactating man boobs were still around as of this time, which it's hard to remember. The opener was Matt Hardy, the WWE Cruiserweight Champion, with Shannon Moore in his corner. He defeated Rey Mysterio in only 5:39. I remember this being a very good match for as long as it went.
Criminally short, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt Hardy was awesome at this point.
Right. And on Heat, this is what happens when you have two tag team titles, neither of which means anything. For the World Tag Team Championship, Lance Storm and Chief Morley, that would be Val Venus to all of you out there, with the Dudley Boys in their corner for whatever reason, defeated Kane and Rob Van Dam, who at other points in 2003 would go on to be the tag team champions.
The unlikely duo of Kane and Rob Van Dam.
That's something I wasn't a fan of either. Let's just throw two names at a wall and see if they stick. I mean, it was just. Although the irony of it is in real
life. Harvey DPing on Heat for the show is so bad.
In real life, Kane, Glenn Jacobs, is a political libertarian, and Rob Van Dam is nothing if not a lifestyle libertarian.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it worked in that way, but Kyle, they didn't bring politics into the storyline, at least not in that sense.
No, Chief Morley, by the way, he's part of the Libertarian Party,
holy crap, it was on the Heat show, but it is the single greatest libertarian match. Ludwig von Mises should have been a special guest referee for this one. I don't think he was still alive at the time, but whatever. They could have gotten like his grandson or somebody. So, WrestleMania 19.
Then you have Lance Storm and his socialized medicine.
Well, that's true. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure his politics are pretty much straight Canadian. Although he's from Western Canada, not the dependence welfare state area of Eastern Canada. They're rugged men's men in Western Canada. So.
And that was Rick Morris with that editorial, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly.